Well, we are on a journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is calling us to live upside down, thus the picture. I know some of you are just, every week you see that upside down picture, it drives you crazy. I was back at the computer this morning, and somebody had taken the other background slide and put it right side up again. Actually gone in and edited it and flipped it back around. Look at that. Because it bothered them so much. And I get you. I'm kind of that kind of guy too. But the picture's upside down on purpose. Because Jesus is calling us to live upside down. Jesus begins his sermon with the Beatitudes, where he teaches us how to enjoy true happiness. How many of you want to be happy? Everybody says, yes, I want to be happy. Jesus has the prescription right here. Each of these eight Beatitudes starts with that word makarios, that Greek word makarios, which means happy in God. Blessed is how it's translated in our versions of the Bible. It more specifically means happy in God. And today we're going to look at the sixth beatitude. Beatitude number six. Blessed or happy in God are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happy in God are those who have pure hearts because they're going to see God. King David, a man after God's heart, understood this principle that Jesus is teaching us. In Psalm 24, he said, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." That's who gets to spend time with God. King David understood that. That's why you continue to hear him throughout the Psalms. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Oh, God, change me. God, continue to work on me. Because he understood the connection between the condition of his heart and his ability and opportunity to be with God and see God in marvelous, spectacular ways. God's word, throughout his word, tells us that we can see God. We can see God. And Jesus is telling us in the sixth beatitude that if we look through this lens of a pure heart, that we will see God. I found a picture online of a father. He's helping his son look through the lens of a telescope. Look at him. He's saying, "Son, check this out. Look through this lens and you're going to see marvelous things. You're going to see things that are going to blow your mind. You're going to see the heavens open up before you. You're going to take things in that are going to just amaze you. Look through this lens and be amazed." And that's what I believe Jesus is telling us in the sixth beatitude. Look through this lens of a pure heart and your mind's going to be blown because you're going to see glorious things. You're going to see God. How many of you want to see God? I know everybody in this room wants to see God. So how relevant is this message? How relevant is this beatitude that Jesus has shared with us? Do you think it can impact your life? You think seeing God would impact your life? Would seeing God impact your family, impact our church, impact our community? If we began to be people who began to see God more and more and more, it's going to change things. Because when you have an encounter with God, you change. When a church has an encounter with God, it changes. When a community encounters God and begins to see God moving in their midst, that community begins to change. I want to see God. I want to see more of Him. As I put it in my notes here, let's get to the heart of the matter. To do that, I like how Charles Finney frames it. It's a quote from Charles Finney. He says, "A wicked heart is a mind in a state of devotion to self, but a pure heart, a mind in a state of devotion to God. It is a state of moral purity resulting from a committed soul to God." We want to see God. the lens to see God is a pure heart. I want to use Finney's quote because I believe he shows us three different points that we can look at in order to cultivate within ourselves a pure heart so that we can begin to see more of God. Finney keeps it simple, provides us insight. Number one, the pure in heart are devoted to God. Number two, the pure in heart intentionally fix their minds on God. And number three, the pure in heart live out their devotion to God through actions, through moral purity. And we can look at the evidence in our own lives. We're called Evident Life Church. It means there's evidence that we've been changed. There's evidence that we've embraced Jesus. There's evidence of His grace. There's evidence of His justification and sanctification going on with us. And so we can look at our lives and we can see the evidence that we have a pure heart. There are ways that we can gauge if we're on the right track. And using Finney's quote, the first thing we can do is we can look at what are we devoted to. We want to have a pure heart because we want to see God. How do we know where we are on that? What are we devoted to? Where are we spending our time? Where are we spending our treasures and our talents? It's really easy to find the answer to this question. Look at your calendar. What are you devoted to? And I really just want us to focus on those things outside of our weekly responsibilities of putting food on the table and managing the household. I'm talking about all the other hours, even if it's only 8 hours in a day that we have outside of that and sleeping and everything. Where are we spending our time? What are we devoted to? We can look at our bank account. What are we devoted to? Where's our treasure going? What are we devoted to? All of these things are an indication of our devotion, which are an indication of the condition of our heart. Are we truly devoted to God or to the busyness of life? Are we devoted to what God says is important or just the temporal stuff that can get us off track really fast? I know. I understand that. So like King David, we need to keep going back. What am I devoted to? Create in me a clean heart. Help me, God. I want to stay focused on you. Because, man, when I see you, it's a whole other world, and I want more of it. I want more of it. Create in me a clean heart. Help me keep my devotion to you, God. So, are we pure in heart? First, we look at what are we devoted to. The second thing we look at is what are our minds fixed on? Someone with a pure heart, I want to make this assertion anyway, that someone with a pure heart is going to wake up in the morning thinking about God. What are our minds fixed on? What are we devoted to? Where's our heart? Someone with a pure heart, or with a heart that's being purified, sanctified, changed, is given to God, is devoted to Him, allowing Him to move in us, is going to find themselves waking up in the morning more and more, man, all I can do is think about God. All I can do is wake up in the morning in a state of prayer, crying out to God, focusing my mind and my thoughts on God, praying and asking for God's heart. Because I know that when I have God's heart, that's when I start to see God throughout my day. I know that when I have God's mind and not my own or the mind of this world, that's when I start seeing God throughout the day showing up in amazing ways. Waking up, seeking God for direction. Seeking Him for direction throughout the day. Desiring to please God. A devoted heart is developed and maintained through a devotion to God, and that devotion begins with our thoughts, what we allow to take place in our minds between these two ears of ours. So what consumes your thoughts? The cares of the world or God? I'm just telling us this because we gotta gauge ourselves. This is part of what it means to be a person. We gotta be able to be real with ourselves and look at ourselves, you know, in a real way. What am I devoted to? Because what I'm devoted to is going to dictate what I experience and is going to dictate what I'm really involved in and what kind of fruit my life is going to produce. What am I devoted to? What am I thinking about? You can choose, by the way, your thoughts. I don't know if you knew that. We're going to look at a passage here in just a little bit that talks about that from Philippians. You can choose your thoughts. You're not out of control. The Lord has given you the ability to choose what you're going to think on. You can choose what, or should I say, who you're devoted to also. What consumes our thoughts will consume our hearts. The third thing. So first of all, we looked at what are you devoted to? That's a good indicator on the condition of our heart. Number two, what are our minds fixed on? Number three, what are our actions? We can gauge our heart, the condition of our heart, based on our actions. Are we growing in moral purity? Notice I used the word growing. Are we growing in moral purity? I didn't say, are you perfect? Do you got it all figured out? Do you never make a mistake anymore in life? You know, we're talking about growing in moral purity. I like Titus 1, verses 15 and 16. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but check this out. But by their actions, they deny him. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Our actions matter because they display the condition of our heart. Our actions display what's really inside, who we really are. That's why our actions matter. Being pure in heart isn't obtained by right actions, though. However, having a pure heart will result in right actions. You see how that flows? You don't want to try to flow it the other way, or you're just going to get frustrated, get into legalism, and nobody's going to want to be around you. Pure actions begin to flow out of a pure heart. That's the direction. What's interesting is that doing the right thing to impress God but not having a pure heart is actually really gross to God. We find that in Isaiah 64. It says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. That's a picture of people trying to act righteous without it coming from the heart. That's a picture of people who are trying to, on the outside, look all good and all that, and trying to impress people and trying to impress God. And God says, that's really gross. It's really filthy. And not only are you not going to see me, but as it says here in verse 7, I'm going to hide my face from you. I'm going to hide from you because you're just playing games. You're trying to be all that without giving your heart. I like that picture that Mark Sakura gave us this morning about a plant that's root bound and how that just starves that plant of life ultimately, and how can't even take in the nutrients, can't even receive the water properly and the nutrients properly because they're all bound up and root bound. And I like, Mark, how you tie that into our hearts. It's because we're not open to God flowing and stretching us out and taking us where he wants to take us. We want to control him. That root bound picture to me is a picture of control, a picture of I want to control my life, and this is as far as I'm willing to go, and it's got to fit in this box that I've created. And God, I want to see you and I want all your blessings and I want to experience all of you, but it's got to be on my terms right here. Boom. That's it. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. Let go. Take down those walls. Let go. And let me fill you. Because I want you to see me. Going back to our actions. God isn't looking for behavior modification. I want to make sure we're really clear on that. Because sometimes, you know, I get excited. I get all preachy and everything, and you start hearing things that I'm not saying. You start thinking, oh man, it's all about pressing forward, and we've got to work it out and pull ourselves up from our bootstraps and make it happen so that God loves us and He's pleased with us. And I hope you're hearing this morning, that's not the right approach at all, because God is not interested in behavior modification. That's not what He's ultimately after. He wants our hearts. He's looking for your heart, not for your modified behavior. Because He knows once He has your heart and once your heart's given to Him and you're no longer root bound and you're just letting Him pour into you, the whole behavior stuff and your actions and your thought, all that stuff's going to change anyway. So He wants your heart. He's after your heart. Velvet and I will discipline our children. And we'll use different methods depending on the circumstances and the child to discipline them. But our goal in disciplining our kids, children, is not behavior modification, although there is some behavior that needs to change, because that was the identifying factor in why something needed to happen in the first place, and some discipline needed to be administered. But the ultimate goal that we have as parents is not just their behavior modification. We want their heart to change. We want their heart to be softened toward their sibling. We want their heart to be humble before God and before their parents and other adults. We want their hearts to change. And out of that changed heart, the other stuff will happen. If you're in a marriage or you have a friendship that you value greatly, you understand this. We don't simply want somebody to spend time with us and to continue to hang out with us, you know, just out of obligation. I mean, that can be nice for a while, but after some time, it's like they're just hanging out with me because they feel obligated to hang out with me. What we really want in our marriages, in our friendships, is we want people whose hearts are for us, whose hearts are given to us, whose hearts are soft to us, and they want to be around us because our hearts are coming together because of real love. Not just out of obligation or some kind of behavior modification. And this is what God desires of us. He wants our whole hearts. He wants it all. The pure in heart chase after God and not other stuff. The pure in heart pursue God and not selfish things. The pure in heart forsake all other affections and long for God alone. The pure in heart are crazy in love with God and don't let anything else compete for that affection. And then the pure in heart will see God. We'll get to see God. Don't you love God? He's not stingy. And again, He doesn't play games with us. He doesn't hide Himself from His kids who come up and run at Him with open arms and want to jump into His arms and look in His face and get a kiss on the cheek. He doesn't go, and play games and run away and hide. And he doesn't mess around like that. Well, He runs right back at us, lifts us up, gives us that big hug and that nice kiss on the cheek, because He's good and He is love. The pure in heart, those whose hearts are really fully given to Him, will see Him. To see God means to see Him both for eternity and now. I want to make sure we understand that truth. As we look through the Beatitudes, we see the eternal blessings throughout the Beatitudes, but we also see the now blessings in the Beatitudes. The now reality of living this upside down way that Jesus is throwing at us and saying, come on, go for it, and it'll blow your mind. The pure in heart will see God in eternity. And that's a promise, that's a reality, and that's a hope. The pure in heart are going to see Him face to face in heaven. They're going to actually reign and rule with Him, with Jesus, on the new earth. When the new Jerusalem comes down, read Revelation. Don't be afraid of it. It's awesome. You want to be encouraged about your eternity? You want your heart to be changed and given to God now? Read. Read about your future. It's incredible. It's amazing. The pure in heart will be forever in the presence of God, but the pure in heart will also see God right here and right now. I'm believing by the end of this message that some of you who are feeling like, that's not real. I've never seen God. That really could never happen. And you have doubts about that. I'm hoping that your heart will even get softened and your mind will begin to open up a little bit. And that you'll actually begin to get excited about this reality. That the pure in heart will see God even now. You see, the pure in heart will see God moving in powerful ways right now. The pure in heart will see God in miracles right now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We talk about yesterday so often. We talk about forever so often. We very easily have faith that can go, yeah, Jesus did that. And yeah, that's how it's going to be in the sweet by and by. But what about now? Our minds get offended. Don't let it happen. The pure in heart will see God now. They will see God move spiritual mountains and heal physical diseases. We just had a testimony of Linda who had cancer and it's gone. She's healed. The pure in heart will see God changing hearts and transforming lives. Even saying that right there, it brings me back. You know, we have several people in this church family who've had diagnoses and other concerns about their heart, their physical heart. I believe we're going to see God bring about some amazing healing. He's going to show up in powerful ways now and bring healing in people's physical hearts. The pure in heart will see God now. They will see God defeat the devil and push back the enemy. They will see God in dreams and visions. Long for that. Desire it. Don't think it's a fairy tale. The pure in heart will see God in the midst of life's circumstances, holding us up. When the storm is a-blowing in life, God will show up and you will see Him in the midst of that turmoil, in the midst of that pressure, in the midst of that chaos in your life. It's not a fairy tale. It's for right here and right now. And yes, the pure in heart will hear His voice and experience His touch. Even in tangible ways. I'll be so bold as to say it. Even in tangible ways. Right here and right now. I believe what Jesus said. I don't want to dumb it down. I don't want you to dumb it down. Let's not dumb God down. Let's let God be God. For He is great. He is so big. And so full of love. He wants you to see Him. He's like that father with his son and that telescope. He wants you to look through this lens of a pure heart. He wants you to just see what life really, really is supposed to be when you fully give your heart and look through that lens of a pure heart at Him. He wants to blow your mind. He wants to touch your life. That's God. Many of us have seen God in different ways. Again, Linda just spoke of that. She just has seen God in healing her body. Show up. She saw God in how her church family came around her and loved her. She experienced in real time, in real ways, the touch of God through the body of Christ. To use the other example from this morning, Mark saw God when he got that word from the Lord in that picture of that root-bound plant. And the Holy Spirit began to tell him what that meant. In order to encourage and build up his church family. I can think of a few instances in my life where I've seen God. And I just want to throw these out here just as examples They're not as dramatic as some of your examples. I mean, I'm even thinking of Susan Chara, who's probably serving right now somewhere. But I think of Susan Chara. They'd been coming to church, this was a year and a half ago, I don't know when it was, but a while back. And a word of knowledge comes forth for healing, for a shoulder, I believe it was. She responds to that word of knowledge and experiences immediate healing of that as she just was driving to church even that morning, talking to Jeremy, and I'm paraphrasing it and probably butchering it, Jeremy, so just say, yeah, great, it's good enough. You know, this is too much. I need God to do something. It hurts. I can't go on like this. I need some healing. I need some breakthrough. And that morning, she saw God working through one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, her responding to it, and God bringing physical healing. Now. When I was a young man between high school and college, I saw Jesus in a dream. It was so vivid, I see it today. I can play it back in my mind. I'm playing it back even right now as I remember it. I'm running through this field. It's like this big golden field of hay. And I'm running toward somebody. And as I get a little bit closer, I see they're running toward me. And I notice it's Jesus. I mean, I just noticed my spirit in my dream understood it. And I knew it in my dream that was Jesus. And I'm running toward him at full speed. And he's running toward me at full speed. And I'm getting excited and excited and excited. And when we meet one another, he does more than a fist bump. He gives me a big hug and we smile. It was just amazing. And then I woke up. I mean, that encounter that the Lord gave me between high school and college at a very pivotal time in my life where I was making decisions to leave the old sinful junk behind and move on in life, to reconnect with him. I got to see God. He showed me that. And it's impacted me to this day. I've seen God in the physical healing of my loved ones. I've told this story about how Grant was in the car. He was just an infant struggling with asthma. And literally he was about to die, about to take his last breath. It was rush hour traffic. Velvet was trying to get him to the emergency room. She cries out to the Lord and boom! There's a policeman right next to her. She tells him there's help within a minute or two. They take care of him. They get him to the emergency room through all of the traffic. Amazing. God showed up. We saw God that day. We cried. She cried. And he answered. It was glorious. My wife in the hospital for 6 days. She had gone toxic, you know, all of her blood and everything became infected and gone toxic. It was supposed to be in and out for some kidney stones. Next thing you know, she's in the hospital and they're throwing out all of these things and trying to keep her alive, putting all kinds of pumping her with everything. I mean, it was crazy. I'm going to say this. She gained 30 pounds in the hospital in 3 days because they were pumping her full of so many different fluids trying to keep her alive. I mean, it really was that bad. And when I realized it was that bad and they start throwing out things like, you know what, we're also seeing cancer over by the liver and some other things over here in her. It was like the enemy was saying, I'm going to take you down. And my response was to take a walk and literally bawl my eyes out in prayer with God. God showed up by his grace and his goodness. I saw God as my wife was healed and walked out of that hospital. And has not had to go back for those reasons again. I've been radically freed from some ugly sin in my life. Ongoing sin in my life that was controlling me. Not good stuff. Stuff that I couldn't break free from. Do you know when the chains came off? That day, on my living room floor, I've told the story, you know it. As I was bawling my eyes out before the Lord, and I said, okay, God, I understand. Now I really am yours. You can have it all. And I asked the Holy Spirit really to rebaptize me, to fill me and make me new. And within 2 weeks, that sin was gone. Doesn't mean that we don't fight it. Doesn't mean that the devil doesn't come back and try to get back in. But it has no power anymore. Greater is he who is in me than that junk, than that filth. I've seen God show up in power in my life, in the midst of turmoil and chaos, to give me peace. In the midst of a sleepless night where I am just frantically freaking out. I don't know if I can use that word in church. You should ask the pastor. I was, you know, fear was gripping me. I couldn't sleep. And I cry out to God and He brings peace. Have you been there? Have you experienced that peace? Have you seen God? We were created to see God. We were not created to be aliens, but through Christ Jesus, to be family, to know Him, to see Him. What a beautiful thing. Encountering God's going to change your life. Seeing God will bring transformation. I want to just share this example because this is my go-to when I want to see God. He's not a genie. You don't rub the bottle and just see Him. That's not what we're talking about. But we can have some go-to things. I'm going to mention a few more in just a moment. When I really need to see God, you know where I go? I go to worship. Getting just to that place of total surrender in worship. Singing at the top of my lungs, crying out to God, worshiping Him. And all of a sudden, the presence of God fills that room and hits me in such a way that I can't even stand any longer because it's so real. It's so consuming that I'm on my knees and I find myself crying. It's not the bad kind of cry. It's the kind of cry of being so filled with love and so filled with the understanding that you are. Not only do you know God, but He knows you. Don't be afraid to go there. I'm not trying to tell you it's some kind of, you know, automatic thing. Put the quarter in the machine, turn the button, and you're going to get the big gumball. I'm not saying it's like that. But I'm saying as we begin to engage in things with God, and we begin to give ourselves to Him and allow ourselves to be vulnerable with Him, He will show up, and it's beautiful. So how can I have a pure heart and see God? Because the road to God is a pure heart. Let me start by just emphatically saying this, and I'll hit these points very quickly as we're going to close here soon, that the only way to see God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Nobody will see God any other way except through Him, unless you're going to get chastised by Him because you're an enemy of God and He's going to pound you into the ground. But I'm talking about seeing God, your Father, who loves you. The only way to have a life of seeing God, of being in His presence, is through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ, we're born again. We're filled with His amazing grace. And because of that, because of the transformation that happens in us, when we receive Christ and become His, because of being adopted into the family of God, we now have the ability and the responsibility to actively pursue this progressive work of developing a pure heart. It's a relationship. You know, I call you, you call me back. If I call you, you never call me back. We never talk. We never, you know. So, some of the truth about how this works, though, is I can do all things through Christ. In other words, I can pursue God. I can pursue a pure heart now because of Christ. If I hadn't been surrendered to the Lord, that sin wouldn't have fallen off of me because it hadn't for years. In my own strength, just because I hated it didn't mean it would leave. But when I was surrendered to God and I gave it to Him and got real with Him, it fled. So I can do all things through Christ. This is what Scripture is talking about. I can have a live, active relationship with the Lord, so much so that I can begin to see Him in amazing ways in my life. I can work out my salvation with fear and trembling because of Christ in me now, because of His amazing grace, and because I'm being led by the Spirit. I can work out the junk out of my heart through Christ, through His work, through cooperation with Him, and I can allow the beautiful purity of God to flow in. And that changes everything. So our part in this relationship with Christ is to give our hearts to Him every single day, building affections for Him, allowing the affections of the world to dry up. And so I want to cover five things. I'm just going to hit them. I'm not going to go into the detail I have in my notes. Five things, the prescription that I want to give you, and it's nothing new. You've heard all of this before, but it's good to be reminded. The prescription for pursuing and maintaining a pure heart. It begins with repentance. It all starts with thinking differently about things, thinking God's way about stuff. You want to develop and maintain a pure heart? Live a life of repentance, of rejecting the old worldly, fleshly way of thinking and embracing God's way of thinking. Look up Philippians 4:8. Paul says, think on these things. Think on these things. Stop thinking on all the other trash and junk and the busyness of life. It may seem good, some of it, but you need to be thinking on this stuff, this good stuff. The second thing that we can do to develop and maintain a pure heart is renewing our minds. It's very much related to repentance, but renewing our minds, filling our minds with the good stuff, emptying it of the trash, filling it with purity instead of filling it with filth and the follies of this passing world. Romans 12:2 talks about that, not being conformed anymore to the patterns of this world, but allowing ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The third thing that we can do to develop and to maintain this pure heart so we can continue to see God moving in our lives and through our lives is prayer and fasting. I told you, you've heard all of these before. You're doing them. But let's keep going after these things. Let's fill our calendar, our devotion to these things, our minds with these things. And the results are amazing. Prayer and fasting, communing with God, is going to purify your heart. Spending time sitting with Him will purify you. It will soften you. It will change you. And again, the result is you'll begin to see God more clearly and see Him moving in your life. We're told by the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. Live a lifestyle of always talking with God. I mean, sometimes it can get weird. I understand that. I'm one of the weirdos. I'll walk into QT and I'll be talking with God still because I just drove up there in my car all alone. I'm getting out. I'm still talking with the Lord. Sometimes even just praying in the Spirit. And I'll be walking into QT and and all of a sudden I'm like, that's why they're looking at me like that. All right. And I'll admit, I kind of quiet down because I don't want them to call the cops. You know what I'm saying? It's not about being a weirdo, right? It's just about praying without ceasing. It's about just doing life with God. And sometimes we do look weird when we do that. But it's okay. But as we spend a life of, and I'll tell you what, as I was even putting this together, I was convicted. Eric, you got to fast more often. You don't fast enough. You got to get it into your schedule. What are you devoted to? How bad do you really want what I have for you? And again, don't fall into that, oh, I got to jump through these hoops in order to get that. Get out of that mindset. This is just about life. It's about love, about relationship. I want God. And He's shown me, Jesus has said, when you fast, not if or anyway. We get to that. That's coming later in the Sermon on the Mount. Always be in a state of prayer, allowing God to be involved in your everything. Wake up praying. Fourth, fellowshipping with believers. You want to develop and maintain a pure heart? Get with fellow believers. Spend time with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. That was another testimony that was given. Be with your brothers and sisters. You become who you hang out with. We're to go into the world to the lost, to love and to minister to those hurting, those far from God, to sinners. So I'm not saying stop doing that. Continue to do that. Seek out the lost and the lonely and bring them to Jesus and bring them into the family of God. But we've got to be people who hang out with one another to encourage one another and build one another up. If you hang out with people who are passionately pursuing God, I mean hang out with them, not just on Facebook, although even that helps a little bit. But I mean really, start hanging out with people who are passionately pursuing God and going and being involved in those things that they're involved in as they're passionately pursuing God, you're going to find yourself all of a sudden passionately pursuing God at another level. You go hang out with people who like to go, you know, get in all kinds of trouble. You're going to find yourself after a period of time hanging out with them and getting yourself in all kinds of trouble. Just the way things work. Find some people. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct you to some people right here in this church, because there's plenty of them who are passionately pursuing God, and start hanging out with them. Start doing life with them. Start going where they go, doing what they do. You'll find yourself passionately pursuing God at a whole nother level and seeing Him. It says in Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." And finally, the last thing we can do, there are several others. These are just the five that I'm presenting this morning. The fifth thing that I want to present as far as developing and maintaining a pure heart is to ask God for help. Every morning I wake up and I ask God for help, because I know without God's help, I'm going to mess it all up. And just to be straight with you, even asking God for help, sometimes I can find myself later on in the day messing it all up. So I wake up the next morning, oh God, help me. I really messed it up yesterday. Help me, help me, help me. Ask God for help. You want a pure heart? Ask God for help. He's for you, not against you. He's not playing games. He doesn't say, go out and get a pure heart. Then I'll start hanging out with you. Then I'll help you. No, you can ask Him right now for help. Again, go back to King David. He lived a life of asking God for help. He'd make a mistake. He'd cry out. He'd repent. He'd ask God for help. He was the man after God's heart. Ask God for help. Tell God what you want. We were created for a relationship with God. We were created to see God. Understand that. You were created to see God moving in your life and through your life. And Jesus has shown us the way. He's given us the way. Again, happy in God are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I want to encourage us, let's press on. Let's take hold of that which Christ Jesus has taken hold of for us. Let's take hold of that pure heart. Let's take hold of that devoted lifestyle. Let's go all in. Let's give Him our all and just see what happens. Let's determine, you know what? We're going to look through that lens. We're going to look through that lens of a pure heart. And I guarantee you, it'll blow your mind. You will see God. You will. Hey, Jake, would you just lead us and show us your glory? Let's stand up. We sang this song earlier, and I thought it would be good to sing it now, but to sing it out of the reality of what we just heard from Jesus in the sixth beatitude. Let's sing it from that reality that we were created to see God. And so as we're saying, show me your glory, what we're asking for is we just want to see more of God. And know that as you're singing this, show me your glory, that you're also consecrating yourself to Him, because those go hand in hand together, that pure heart and seeing Him. Let this be a time for the next 2 or 3 minutes where you do some business with God.
Show me your glory.